continue with our agenda. Let us start with the introduction. I will also be costing time because we need to be out of this boardroom by 1:45. I will start by myself. I am a member of parliament. My name is Sheila Trevor, a member of this committee. On this side is Jerry Bolitina, the secretary of the committee. On this side is Busiso Kuzwayo, the content advisor. Can we start from that side?
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members. SAT, my name is Simpiwe Begwa. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, my name is Greg Kambach, representing the Medical Alliance on this committee from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good afternoon, James Force.
Good afternoon, my name is Batiswa Bam Mugwanya from the Eastern Cape. I'm a member of this committee. I thank you.
Can we take it from this side?
Good afternoon. I'm Khumule Malebisa. I'm from South African Tourism. I'm the organizational performance planning and monitoring specialist.
Honorable chair members, my name is Pam Yako. I'm the chairperson for Ocean Tourism.
Good afternoon, honourable members. My name is Sisan Jonan, I'm the Chief Executive Officer.
Good morning. Good afternoon, honourable members. My name is Tom Bauer. I'm the CFO of this tourism.
Good afternoon, honourable members. I'm Bashni Muthaya, Chief Strategy Officer at South African Tourism.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Armstrong Mangani. I'm from the Department of Tourism.
Good day, members. I'm Pietra Sanika. I'm the PLO, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, in the Office of the Director General of Tourism.
Afternoon, everybody. Ismail Hussain from PMG.
Good afternoon, all. I'm Melanie Titus, Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Office of the Minister.
And
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Susanna Loni, part of the research unit.
Good afternoon, my name is Osi. I'm the Secretary of the Committee.
Good afternoon, it's Philippa, the Director of the Committee.
Thank you. At least we now know each other. The last gentleman?
From committee.
Thank you very much. I will hand over to Jerry for apologies. Let me put up front the apology of the chairperson of the committee, Mrs. Lusizo Makhubela. She has been booked off by the doctor. That's why she is not around. Thank you. Jerry?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we've also got an apology from Ms. Masehele and then Ms. Adams as well. They will also not be part of the committee meeting today, Chair. And we have also received a apologies as well from the Office of the Minister and from the Office of the Deputy Minister as well. Thank you, Chair.
There was also an apology from the delegation. There was somebody who was said to be asking to leave at 1:50. I don't know who that person is, but by that time we'll be out of this. Thank you. In front of us today, we have South African Tourism, who is here to account on their first performance of 2018. The period from April to June. I will first give it to the chairperson of the board, just in 5 minutes. To do whatever she wants to do. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members. It is quite an honor to come in front of the House or the committee today to lead this delegation of SA Tourism. We are, as you know, we are a new board. So we're still finding our feet, but at the same time, we have to get, because tourism as a business and as a sector, there's always things to do, and it's an exciting sector too. And whilst this is also Heritage Month and also Tourism Month, I think it's quite good that we're here to report on the work that we've been doing. And the CEO is going to be leading the presentation, and we'll take some questions from there, and any other concerns that the committee might have on behalf of, then I'll take that on behalf of the board. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson of the Board. It's nice meeting you as SAT. I will hand over to you as the delegation. I will be giving you 30 minutes. That's the maximum for your presentation. The time now is 20 minutes to 1. Just be within your 30 minutes. Over to you, CEO. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon again, honourable members. I'm going to take you straight to the first slide, which just kind of gives you a bit of an overview of what we'll be talking about today. Just to reiterate, we are looking at Q1 performance, April, May, and June of 2018, and so our views and all the performance is confined to that side. We'll also be taking you through, we've got 27 KPIs, we'll be taking you through them in terms of how we're performing relative to them. Please note that some of the KPIs are not due for reporting as yet. However, we do take into account the last time we were here to say, well, let's give you an indication in terms of how we're moving, basically, on some of them there. The first slide really just kind of gives you a summary of SA Tourism and how we, our landscape is that from that perspective. We've got two strategic goals, increasing tourism, contribution to inclusive growth, and also achieving operational efficiency and good governance. We achieve that through 6 strategic objectives. And then these objectives basically are fed by these KPIs. So that's how things cascade basically from the perspective. The next slide is a summary slide. You know, we always try to improve these presentations so as to give snapshot pictures as to what is happening, and then we can delve down into the detail. So this is just basically a scan of the world of the international arrivals of Q1. We compare Q1 2018 to Q1 2017 and to start to look at some issues that side. We are 1.3% down relative to last year, if you look like for like performance. The map here really gives you, in terms of the indications around the world, where we are most under pressure at. You look at South America and even North America, 0.1% down, so that's not too much of a headache that side. Middle East, although it's a smaller base, 14% down. Europe is where you've got a lot of pressure, where you're almost 10% down, and I'll give you some views on that side. And then Asia, 5% down from that side, Australasia 6%, 7%, and our saving grace was really the continent of Africa, 0.2% up. Although the 0.2% is small, however, because of the numbers that we get from the African continent, it really swings things around that side. Key things here that actually become an anomaly is that if you look at Q1, this set Q1 last year, the key thing is that the Easter period falls in the March period of 2017. So therefore what you see there is, 2018. So therefore what you see is that we're not getting that kick, I can call it, basically, of an Easter falling within, this Q1 period. The second one is that in our traditional markets, which is Europe, essentially, Russia World Cup actually had an impact. There's such people who are actually focusing on that part of the world, and we never quite got some of the areas of performance that we kind of got that side. However, what's encouraging, we're seeing an upswing of that Europe market, which is actually outside of Q1, but to give you a bit of a sense that side. The next slide is a bit of a snapshot. It's the same kind of information, but just kind of positioned differently. And what we aim to do here, on remember, is just to give you one page where you can just have a look and have a sense where we are at. Key here on the left is that 1.3% down, as I said, relative year on year. Our target for the year is to grow by 6.5%. And remember, this is based on that 5 and 5 that we have. So whatever we don't achieve in year one, it rolls over to the next year and starts becoming a target there. Key here is that this year we aim to really go through the barrier of 11 million arrivals. 11.2 million arrivals is where we are targeting for this year. In the Q1, we achieved 2.4 million arrivals. So again, I mean, we are essentially quite hopeful that we can recover for the balance of the year. Africa's come through quite nicely, but I also said there's other areas of the global environment where we're under pressure. Key areas that I'd like to highlight that we're quite happy around in the African continent. Angola is up 33% year-on-year relative to last year. And the big difference over there is that we've got a visa waiver in Angola. So Angolans no longer need visas to come to South Africa, and immediately just come in quite strongly that side. DRC is 20% up, and there's a new airline that's flying between South Africa and the DRC. Again, airline connectivity gives you a bit of a sense there. We all know the Ethiopia story, you know, around connectivity and everything else, and that market is up 15%. Ghana, quite surprisingly as well, is also up 28%. So to give you a bit of a sense that, you know, there are some markets and there's some barriers that you move, you change them, you can see immediately some of the impact on that side. The next slide, we call it the Springbok color slide, is really domestic tourism. And maybe much like our Springbok rugby team, the performance is not that great there. And what you're finding basically is that the indications are down. We are under pressure both from a holiday travel side and also from a total domestic travel side as well. So the pressure there, essentially, you will see that we are sitting right now for top right, holiday trips, 0.6 million, right, which is basically 16% of where we're trying to go to. We are 10% down relative to last year as well. And the required growth that we are targeting for domestic is 7%. We have specific campaigns that we are targeting to really change this. We have been driving for a long time with a short left, which is about an awareness. But I'm also very happy that for the first time, we are actually putting through what you call a tourism travel week from the 24th to 30th of September. We have gotten 445 different businesses that have actually come on board that says they will reduce their price by up to 50% for that week. Call it a Black Friday equivalent of what you usually see around retail stores. So that's what we're targeting, and we'll be driving that on the 24th through the 30th of September. Key to note there is that you have to buy within that week, but you can consume it any other time that is actually available on that site. We also aim to teach South Africans how to travel smartly, off-peak as an example. That will give you a bit of pricing there. But you also want to expose different products and solutions that are coming to that market. So we're really quite excited, and we've got a range from the big travel agencies like Flight Center as an example that's in there and Tourvest to all the small operators as well that are also coming on board. It covers all the 9 provinces and the different experiences that are within them. So it's going to be done through our short-lived website, and it's our first one that we've done, but we really have progressed from just doing awareness advertising but to look at conversion so that people can actually start to buy. The three big things that are barriers when you do research around domestic travel. First one is I can't afford it. So really about this discount, we want to address the affordability part. The second part is access to information, right? I don't know enough about a place for me to make an informed decision or not. And then the last one becomes safety and security, you know, personal safety, issues and concerns around that one. I mean, you've seen yesterday some of the crime statistics that are coming through on that side. You know, really there is a bit of tension in the system there. The next slide, slide number 6, really looks at our grading council. It's a busy slide, but I thought let me include it in here so that you can see pictorially where we are at in terms of grading. So to give a bit of a sense, we've got 5,086 establishments that are in a grading environment. Almost 40% of it is actually made of guest houses. Right? Then the next one becomes self-catering, and the third one becomes B&B. You start to see it's actually the small operator, independent operators that make the bulk of our grading establishments. Then you look at the provincial splits. The Western Cape by far has the largest market share or contribution to the number of graded establishments on that side, and then followed by Gauteng and then KZN as well. What we are doing is that through our agreements that we have with the provincial tourism authorities, we are starting to hone in on specific areas of performance. So we can look at a place like the Eastern Cape and say, well, your numbers are 670, we want to get them to by another 100 as an example. But you can also be specific as to what category. You know, we look at nature reserves, lodges, or B&Bs to get those numbers there. That is one space that we're looking at quite aggressively in that perspective. And again, there's been lots of conversations about branding, Airbnb and everything else in that regard, but we've got some plans there that I can talk through what we're doing there. The last slide, which is a summary slide as well, slide number 7, really talks about our business events side. On this one, Q1, we've had 36 submissions made, and our target was 26. But to also look at where these submissions were made per city, and it gives you a sense, out of the 36, 19 is Cape Town, and the distribution can be seen right across the board. Part of the focus was always to say, yes, we want to make sure that the big centers continue to drive, but we want to make sure that we bring some activity to the smaller provinces as well. We have created capacity within SA Tourism in terms of headcount that starts to make sure and market the smaller places there. Now let me come to the APPs themselves. I'm trying to look at time as well. This slide really gives you a summary in terms of all of our 27 APPs where we are at. There's a couple of categories. One is that some are not due for reporting, but I will talk about them. Some are actually due for reporting, give you a bit of a sense in terms of where we sit. On program one, which is corporate support, only one of them is really due for supporting, which is basically the audit report. And I must say again, we are very proud as SA Tourism to have another unqualified audit that is actually being confirmed by the Auditor General as well. The other part, which really gives you a sense in terms of the orange is essentially saying that we are concerned, we are not achieving, however, we are actually addressing it with specific tactical elements that we will be putting through on that side. So the green is achieved on that side. Now, the next 10 slides are really going to be going into each line item of the summary over here. And I'll probably bring out the ones that I think are keeping us awake at night. I'll also highlight probably some ones that I think we've really done well on, and then happy to take questions if there's anything I left in between. So, slide number 11, to look at the staff satisfaction score. A big element, without an engaged staff, we really can't move very far at South African Tourism. We take the survey once a year, but however, we can't just wait for the survey and hope for the best. We're doing a lot of things in between now and when the survey is done. A couple of things, you know, looking at learning and development of staff, training, providing opportunities, especially for our foreign offices, where a lot of our foreign staff basically may reach the ceiling very quickly in terms of the progression and everything else in that regard. So definitely a lot of work has been done. All of these KPIs are cascaded down to each EXCO member as well. Next one is the vacancies, very important. We are actually probably onboarding quite rapidly 2 or 3 people per month at South African Tourism as we close that gap to make sure that we can reach full staff complement. Our full staff complement is 202, and I guess we're probably sitting about 185 at the moment. But we want to close it off by the end of the year and make sure that we have a full complement of staff within the system as well there. Employment equity, again, that one I think itself describing as to what the elements are, and this is done also once a year as well from that side. The unqualified audit achieved, which is the green one, is really about the annual report, I mean the annual audit that is done by the AG, and also some of the inputs that have been given in that regard in terms of unqualified audit report. Stakeholder satisfaction score, that becomes important because this is essentially South African Tourism cannot do anything alone. We've got to make sure that we collaborate with the private sector, whether it's through the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. And by the way, they themselves have also gone through a management change. They've got a new board, a new chairman, rather, that's also come in as well. And I think they've got some plans as to how we can actually collaborate together to make sure that we can achieve those. Again, there we do an annual survey where we evaluate as to how effective or impactful our work has been in terms of the environment there. Next slide really deals with the arrivals one. Now, let's start with the international arrivals. I've spoken a little bit earlier on in terms of how we are faring and performing across the board there. Interestingly, when I have our quarterly session with all of the country managers, four key things come through quite loudly. One is that the remnants of water or drought issues are still a consideration or barrier point in terms of international tourists. When there was a drought, you know, the international media showed and kind of talked about and everything else. Now that our dams are 50% full, there's no one closing that loop to make sure that the actual environment understands that there is water down and, you know, we've recovered from that perspective of the dreaded day zero. Safety and security is also something that's always hovering all the time. A rising trend is about animal interaction, right? Cub petting specifically from that perspective. Canned lion hunting is starting to become, and I always worry about the reputation that we may get around the world as not being on the right side of the right thing to do, basically, around animal interaction. To give you an example, Singapore Airlines has actually banned all carrying on board any trophies, animal trophies, and even lion bones, as an example, you know, which we've recently allowed as a country on a quota basis. So that is also something that we need to address. Then the last one that's starting to raise ugly head is land expropriation without compensation, especially on the business event side, which are actually have a long lead cycle, 3-4 years ahead. You know, we're starting to hear some ramblings in terms of will we be able to have conferences in 3 years' time and everything else in that regard. These four elements, we have collaborated with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa and TROMSA to make sure that we can come up with a communication package that we can then communicate around the world as to what specifically we are doing around these things. We want to be proactive about them as opposed to wait for them to become a crisis. And we are addressing these all of the time. There is a roadshow that we are scheduling to visit our key source markets, and it will be a unified front of South African tourism, including the private sector as well, and one or two of other tourism players to make sure that we interact with the media there and also interact with our trade partners who package and sell South Africa every single day. Linked to this as well is also the foreign direct spend. How we influence this is that the longer that people stay in South Africa on a holiday, the more they spend there. So therefore, by having more on the itinerary really drives people to actually spend more in the country as well. So specifically looking at targeting this. But there's also a correlation between this and the arrival numbers. When the arrival numbers are typically low, this also comes down with it as well. Geographic spread, seasonality, our APPs, we look at them all the time, and how we influence this is to make sure that we showcase South Africa to the world as 9 provinces, not just 3 provinces or 4 provinces, but 9 provinces. All of our hostings, when we invest resources to bring trade over, we always make sure that in the itinerary it has to include a lesser-known province or lesser-known destination in order to give it airtime in the space so that we can start to have more economic activity across the board. Seasonality becomes important so that the tourism jobs are not just there for 9 months of the year, but throughout the year that we've got activity happening on that side. The next one, which is brand positivity and brand awareness. Key important ones here is that we track this on a regular basis to make sure that for people to even consider to come to South Africa, they have to be aware of the country. That's measured by awareness. Then if they're aware of the country, we want to make sure that they have a positive view about visiting South Africa. And these are the two areas that we drive. This is where we go for our global media buy, where we buy airtime on the likes of CNN, the BBCs, the global spaces, just to make sure that we create this halo effect and position South Africa as a destination to go to. You will know that it's a very competitive space. You will see truly amazing India always there all the time. You'll even see Russia there as well, Australia. It's a space that we're all fighting for to make sure we get prominence that side. I've spoken a little bit on the next one about the domestic trips, and I'll link the number of domestic trips and holiday trips as well, including the spend that is linked to them. Honourable members, we are actually called by the select committee last week, where we made a joint presentation between the Department of Tourism and South African Tourism about domestic tourism. They wanted to hear a little bit more about what are we doing, what are our plans, and how can they support us to kind of get all this thing done. You can't run away from the backdrop of the economic environment that we find ourselves in. With fuel prices rising every single month, disposable cash is really coming quite tight. But we want to believe that with specific initiatives like the Tourism Travel Week, we are starting to think, how do we club up together and make sure that we can put our best foot forward? We are looking at specific interest groups, as an example, like Stockfels, where we've partnered with Flight Center to really package deals around Stockfels. We know there's a lot of disposable income there. So instead of, and you've got the volume and the numbers there, and we want to make sure that travel becomes part and parcel as to how they can dispose or rather, use, utilize the stock for money as well. We're speaking to, non-tourism partners like banks. Banks have become now travel agencies. You know, if you've got e-bus as an example, you can travel and use them. So really aligning to all of the spaces, always making sure that we cover everything right across the board. That it's not just airlines we're looking at, but we're also looking at taxis, we're looking at buses, we're looking at road trips as well. So we have to make sure that we are present in all of those environments that are actually taking us from that perspective. The holiday trips is about 20% of the total domestic trips and really looks at people's primary reason is to travel for domestic trips. Now, linked to this as well, which is similar to international, we also look at geographic spread and seasonality. Seasonality one becomes important, you know, because part of the thing is that in South Africa we all go on holiday at the same time. So essentially we're all competing for that same bed, and obviously the price goes up from that side. There's actually, I think we must have closed by now, though. There was also a paper out about giving commentary on school holidays as to how to school. And I think, you know, that will also help in terms of how you spread across the year some of the travel tendencies that we see from that side. SME attendance at all of our tourism trade shows, whether it's Indaba, WTM, or IBT, as an example, is a core component that we drive the performance that side there. The next slide now looks at the business event side, and again, most of the elements are not due for reporting, but I can give you a quick sense of comfort that we are progressing on these quite well. It's one of our areas that we actually want to pull the lever quite substantially and make sure that we deliver some of these numbers on that side. Right from bids, I think our hit ratio at the moment is about 60%, you know, in terms of successful bids. So we take the time to make sure we spend the resources and bid for events that we're likely to get as opposed to spray and pray from the perspective there. And I think, you know, Q2, Q3, we'll be able to give you a bit more sense as to how we're progressing on those ones there. The next slide looks at graded establishments, and I spoke earlier on about that one. We've gone through, as an executive team, a whole process to relook at the grading space. We've also said to ourselves, is our model still relevant for the time that we find ourselves in? There is technology at play all the time. So how does a situation a grading council find a home and find itself and find its relevance? One of the key things is actually looking at the operating model. We've got assessors that we source in, and these assessors are paid a commission. However, these assessors are both originators and also inspectors as well. What we are doing as well is we are splitting the two. You know, think of it like an MWA model, where we are actually going to be coming up with a whole lot of originators. We want to target youth businesses who actually have the numbers as well, to be able to give them targets about how do we sign up establishments to become graded as well. Key other one there as well is illegal stars. These are illegal plugs that you see in establishments. The problem with our plugs, they don't have an expiry date. So a normal person goes there and just sees a plaque and assumes that it's valid. Now, the problem is someone may have been graded 5 years ago but never renewed the grading, but the plaque is still sitting over there. Now, it is a criminal offense to actually have a plaque that is invalid. However, you know, trying to get the police to remove them is really futile with all of the priorities that they have. So we want to, again, find a way of how we remove these plaques, and through this model of finding youth-owned businesses that we can get them to take down these plugs, and obviously on a commission basis on that side. Linked to this is also number of graded rooms achieved, linked as well to the number of establishments that are there. One area that we're looking at, and I know we've not really been great around the grading side, but I'm quite hopeful that this year we're going to have a turnaround in terms of reaching some of those numbers there. So that's it from an APP side. Yes, there are some areas that we just didn't meet our target. It's Q1. This is when we build up momentum. However, I'm still confident onto the members. We are on track. We are on target. We are upping our game. Our numbers will come through. We are very clear about where we want to fish, where we are investing our resources. The teams are also focusing a lot more in as well. And I hope you also start to see from a domestic side the prevalence of domestic tourism and how we are playing part to make sure that even in this economic tough times, we must still be visible and present so that you know, the South African public can consider traveling as part of their staple diet. I will hand over now to the CFO, who will take us through some of the numbers from the Q1 perspective as well.
Thank you. We are giving the financial officer 10 minutes. You went up to one. 10 minutes, please. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. If I can take you through the slides for the finances, I think we start with the revenue side. I think that's the most important side to report on. I think the government grant is our biggest contributor. I think when the department presented, they will always tell you that we get 53% of their budget, which is not aligned with the truth. So the 1.2 billion rand is the money that we receive from the government. The income that we have forecasted for June 2018 is 948 million rand. And the reason for that huge amount, which is about 79% of our total budget, is the upfront payments which we need, not upfront payments, the money that we need to transfer to the different countries as we try to mitigate the risk of currency exposures. So every year, since I'm here, I must say we were very lucky that the currency was in our favor when we transferred the funds in April. As if we had transferred now, we would have been in trouble. So we had about a gain between our budget rate and the spot rate, as we call it. There was about a million rand gain in terms of the time between when we transferred funds. So the money that we have received is the money that we received. Most of them is for a foreign country. Over 500 million rand are going to foreign countries, lying in foreign countries in their bank accounts. So that is very limited. The TOMSA levies, the total budget is 130 million, million rand. Our forecast was 36 million rand, and we've received 65 million rand. And the reason for that huge increase is that there's a collaborative fund, as I've explained to the committee previously. Of the money they transfer to us, 15% of that money must go to a collaborative fund, where industry and South African tourism, as a collaborative, decisions will be taken in terms of project between us and the industry. So last year we haven't used 25 billion rand of the funds, of their funds, so they transferred it back to us, so that's the reason for a big increase of 65 million rand. So we are, let's say, 178 million rand in terms of comparison of the first quarter. So that is a balance that stayed over in the collaborative fund. But I must say that's not our money, that is the TOMSA money in the collaborative fund. But it's a collaborative decision making between us and the TOMSA board. In the Indaba meetings, Africa, 57,000 rand. The only thing that we had, it was the Indaba, and we haven't received any money at the time because we were busy with the audit. But the 6 million rand we have received is the Gauteng Tourism Agency, in terms of our bid party agreement, they must pay us 5 million rand. And for meetings Africa, so they've already paid the 5 million rand for February next year. So that's where the big difference are coming from. So we've received their money. Grading fees, I think we're on target. It's 560, 24%, which we have. We should be 25%. And sundry income is 4.8 million rand. We received 5.332 million rand. And the biggest part of that is 3.6, 3.7 million rand of that is the interest that we have received from the upfront payment. I must say that if one goes to the foreign countries, the interest in foreign countries is very, very low. Some of them are zero. Some of them are not even 1%. So the most of that money, that 10-year, that's the money that we are generating revenue on that amount. So that is the revenue side. So our total budget is 1.439 million rand, billion rand for the 2017-18 financial year. If we go to the expenditure side, as I have reported in the past, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and National Treasury has then requested us not to report in terms of PPIs anymore, but in terms of programs. So one will see that, or members will see that the five programs that we have in South African tourism, corporate support, business enablement, leisure tourism, marketing, business events, and business experience are the five programs that we are reporting on. So I think if one look at the budget of both all of those, budget. That is the budget I have presented also in the APP. It's exactly the same as the amount that we have presented in the APP to the committee. It's 1.4 billion rand. And then expenditure to date is then the corporate support is 23.32 million rand expenditure. The actual expenditure that we had is in 68 million rand. And the reason for that is that this currency exposure, unrealized currency exposure, of about 34 million rand as we speak, as the rand has deteriorated as, over time. The business enablement is research. We have forecasted 19.7 million rand to be paid in this quarter, in the first quarter. We paid 29 million rand, and we normally pay these amounts on milestones that we achieve from the research, and it's also some upfront payments that we do. So that's a 29 million rand. So it's not a huge, well, it looks like a huge difference because the amount, the base is low, but it's not that a huge difference. Leisure tourism is our biggest kind of focus because that's our mandate. The big part of our mandate is in leisure tourism. We have been budgeted for 233 and we have spent 231 million rand, which is 23%. We were supposed to be at about 25%. We are on track on that one also. Business events, 84 million rand we have budgeted for. Just the expenditure for the biggest expenditure for a 84 million rand from 121 million rand was for Indaba. It's quite a lot of money that we have invested in Indaba, which is in May, so that was the reason for that. And also, if one look at the real expenditure, was 93 million rand. It's also the bid support is under the business events, and the business enablement is really, as the CEO said, we target for a 60% target to achieve 60%, and that's what we sign on that. Business experience, I think we are it's 13%, 13 million rand. The real expenditure was 27 million rand. What we have done there was an accounting calculation, and the tourism investment program money went through this program here instead of through the program's money. So we have corrected that 27 million rand. So we are within the target is we are about 12 million rand. So that one we've already in the next quarter. That will be you will not see that it will be corrected. I think, Chair, just as the committee has requested us to do a breakdown, the budget and expenditure review in terms of economic classification. The compensation of employees is 198 million rand, and that's for the 202 bodies of positions that we have that was approved by the Treasury. That's about 13.8%, so we're quite within our target that we do not spend more than 30% on overhead and 70% on marketing. Goods and services is budgeted 601 million rand. The first quarter is 311 million rand. We have spent 351 million rand. I think I've also, if I look at that, it relates back to the upfront payments and also especially for the media buy where we have spent quite some money in upfront payments and also for milestones that we have achieved. The capital asset is far below. But as the CEO has also reported, we are busy with the space planning of the building. The space planning tenders is out. They are busy with the final kind of drawings from the engineer side. So the space planning will go out very, very, very soon. And then also, as part of this new process, the operating model, digitalization is a huge project that we have invested in. The first tender we went out only for contract management was 18 million rand, and we have to cancel that tender because we have then decided to look at the total digitalization in terms of organization. So we are a bit behind on that, but we are catching up. Both of them, the tenders are out and awarded, so we will report back later in the year on that. I think if we go to the goods and services, which is a 601 million rand on slide 22. I think there's a breakdown. I don't know how much you want me to go into the breakdown. That's what also the committee has requested previously. So I think we are quite on target in terms of what we wanted to achieve. And if one look at the breakdown in terms of the pie chart, is that one can see media is 26%, production is 5%. Activation and you can read for yourself. I think my attendance is up or very close to up. So, Chair, I think that is a breakdown of the goods and services in terms of our media, in terms of our goods and services breakdown. Chair, I think that is our budget. I think we're on track for the first quarter. Normally, the first quarter is spending is a bit higher, due to the upfront payment and the money.
Can I give you more 5 minutes to finish up?
I'm happy, Chair. So I think in the first quarter is normally the first, what we do in the first quarter is to pay the leases upfront, to pay the media upfront, to get a better discount in terms of that, and also where there's milestones that we need to pay, we do that milestones and we pay up the upfront media also for that. So the first quarter is quite a bit more of expenditure in the organization, and from there it tones down. Also, if you look at our revenue, most of the money is coming through in the first quarter, and from there we tone down and then kind of balance it out. I think, Chair, that is, Honorable Chair, that is the finance reporting for the first quarter. We are confident that we are on track in terms of the finance.
Thank you, CFO. I think just in our reporting as well, I'll take you through the last two ones, which is basically the human capital side. I've spoken about how we're actually recruiting and bringing people on board. The last one looks at governance, which is basically highlighting the interaction that the board has had, the number of meetings we've had, and we've listed there all the board members in terms of the attendance of meetings on a quarterly basis and some of the remuneration and travel costs in that perspective. What we have also as well as part of this fact, we've made them annexures. And it's always we want to make sure that we give the committee enough information. However, if there's more information that would like a bit more depth, the annexure is going to be more detailed around especially the international and the domestic side, if there are any questions. So with that, I think we've somehow achieved to within the allocated time. And I want to thank all the members for giving us the time and the attention as well, and happy to take questions out. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO, for the presentation. My apologies for driving the car too fast. It was also on cruise. It's just that the meeting was planned with the experience of 3 o'clock starting in the house. Now there has been a change this week. I will give it up to honorable members now to engage. I will also plan because time. I'm allocating the 30 minutes amongst the 6 members. We will share the savings as members. So I'm giving each member 5 minutes. If there is a saving, there will be a second round. I will now note whoever wants to speak first. Honorable Kumbok noted. Honorable Bekwa will be second. Honorable Force will be third. It will go that way. Honorable Force. Oh, sorry. Honorable Kumbok. Sorry. I've noted you, Mrs. Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I put my time on, so I won't go beyond your time. The first question I have is on page 3, and clearly this is a disturbing statistic, and as we're told quite rightly, the fact that Africa makes up around about 75% of our international arrivals has cushioned the rest of the world to some extent. But I have two questions on that page. First thing is the impact of the World Cup. We're talking just over 250,000 arrivals from Europe. There would have been some impact, clearly, but what I do find would be helpful is that we somehow quantify many of these things that we say, because saying there's an impact doesn't tell us whether it was a minimal impact or a major impact. So it would be good if in the future we could get actual numbers. You surely are measuring these things. So what effect did the World Cup actually have? You're nearly 10% down in your international arrivals from Europe. Did the World Cup account for half of that? Did it account for 1 out of the 10% or 9 out of the 10%? I mean, I think we need to know these figures so we can plan around big international events. There is other international tournaments. There is the Olympics. It would be nice if we could have a number to that. Then the second question is on the USA, and it's similar. Okay, it is only 1% down, but we need to remember that the United States of America did not qualify for that World Cup. There would have been very, very few Americans going to Russia to see the World Cup anyway. What we have seen in America is a surging economic performance, despite Donald Trump's personal unpopularity. No one can gainsay the fact that the American economy is roaring along. And therefore, with all those people without an alternative sporting attraction and with extra disposable income, one would have liked to have seen a increase from North America. And I'm intrigued as to why there is a 1% decline. Perhaps we could be enlightened on that. Then, related to that, my third question on page 13. I have a number of questions there. Again, it's a bit frustrating looking at the qualitative reasons why there was this decline without actually being able to quantifiably work out what each negative factor contributed, if that's not the right word, how each factor perhaps added to the problem. So you mentioned the water crisis in Cape Town and Day Zero. Okay, one would have liked to have thought that that's now starting to recede in the background, but not to what extent is that particular factor impacting on the figures. Then you speak about the security incidents, three of them. Then there's a third factor, intense competition from visa-free destinations. So that's a visa factor. And then you have a plan to address underperformance, which is the PR plan. So I'd like to get an idea out of those three factors that you mentioned. Are they roughly equal in impact, contributing to the final decline in that market? Are some more important than others, in which case, how much? I mean, we need to spell out exactly how much. And then just your plan on the PR campaign. I've never really been sure how we do this, because we can't deny the facts. I mean, the fact is it's not safe. And we've seen the murder rate up in the last few years. We had the crime stats presented not so very long ago. What are we actually telling people overseas? Are we asking them to be more careful? Surely we're not denying the fact that we have a problem. So some details on that. Right, and then on page 20, my second last question. And that is the... sorry, it's not on that page. It's where you have your establishments and those which are graded. So the reason why I mentioned page 20 is because you had your income from different sources and you talked about grading fees, 22.5 million rand, and I relate that back to your grading establishments. Yeah, so it was the two together, and I wanted to know what percentage do you believe of all our possible beds in their various forms, from a B&B right through to international, how much of that is actually, what percentage of it is actually graded? So I'd like to get an assessment whether the argument that we've made for some years now is that the grading fee should be zero, but the grading should be compulsory rather than the other way around. I'd like to get an idea of how those two factors work. And then in my last 8 seconds, Chair, the directors on the board, I noticed Regan Hoskins hasn't attended a single meeting. Four crosses in a row, and there's a 14,000 rand bill for travelling and accommodation. I know it does relate to the previous quarter, but I wanted to get an idea of what that particular problem was. Has he lost interest, or is it just unfortunate circumstances? I really don't think we should have a budget, even if it's not for that particular quarter, for people that haven't attended a single meeting unless four out of four.
Yes, thank you, Chair. First of all, let me appreciate the presentation from the CEO. CEO, the country is on recession. We all know that. What is it that the SAA to put in place to respond to this situation that you are facing as a country? Did we ever engage the government to contribute or boost to the economy so that it can come across this recession? On page 14, slide 14, you spoke about the tourism traveling week. CEO, my challenge is always in your reporting when you report on tourism, domestic tourism. It seems as if there is nothing that this SAT is doing to improve domestic tourism. I'm saying that because in your reporting and even in your programs, you just pass by saying this is what we are doing, these are the challenges that we are facing. As a country, we've got a policy, the radical economic transformation, which is including the very poor of the poor. And we are saying we want to create a conducive environment for them to participate in the economy. But in your reporting, as we started, I'm looking at your reporting, there's nothing, there's less that is talking about domestic tourism. It seems as if it's just passing by. You know why I'm saying that? When you mentioned your tourism traveling week, you even said in your reporting, you target the business people. What about the people that are disadvantaged? What is it that you're putting in place for them to participate in those tourism traveling week? To me, we need to refocus and do more so that radical space should be there, because as we speak now, there's nothing that is done by the SAT to include the people. Let me just go to on slide 16. A number of international delegates. You said is not ready to report. It's just end there. Can you just explain in the response what do you mean when you say they're not ready to report on number of graded rooms achieved? You mentioned that the stars are the challenges. And there's nothing much that you can do. There's nothing much that you can do. You can't be a government and say there's nothing much that you can do. People don't want to grade it, and there's nothing much that you can do. There should be something that we must do so that people can, grade their stars. I mean, you said you can't even send the police there. What kind of a government is that? We can just leave it like that and then say, okay, no, it's fine. People don't want to change their star. They don't want to be graded. We can't do that. We can't do that, CFO. So, Chair, because of time, let me just stop there. But I must emphasize this. Next time when you meet, or next year when you meet, please, domestic tourism should be a priority. Thank you very much.
Okay, next is Honorable Ford.
Thank you, Chair. The prepared briefing notes are very useful, so I'm going to use them because they are very detailed in terms of what we've experienced thus far. So firstly, I would like to ask about the resignation of the Chief Marketing Officer. The very first issue that was reported on in terms of the organizational performance by program touches on the staff satisfaction, etc., etc. So I think it's quite important that we get an explanation on the resignation and everything relating to it, because it's a key position within the organization. Also, the domestic tourism issue, it's been raised already, but I think I just want to put the following to the SAT. A lot of these things that we've talked about today are external factors in terms of what's happening globally, yes, and then the day zero and all the other issues. And also with regards to your marketing campaigns, okay, so, and I've made the point also during the budget vote, a lot of money is being spent on marketing, and we've seen previous marketing ads, and I've raised it with you in a committee not so long ago, where it showcases experiences that South Africans are experiencing, okay, if I can put it to you that way. But it's not speaking to destinations or locations. So it's not, you know, giving South Africans an idea as to where to go and how to go and what to do. Because those are the things that that we need to spoon-feed South Africans with, because we know that we're up against tough economic situations. Fuel prices are increasing. The VAT has also impacted on people's disposable income that's available to do these things and travel and so on. So, you know, I think we must, and you've mentioned the fact that industry has come on board and they've made available from the 24th to the end of September reduced packages. I would like to see that actually all year round, because we know Sand Parks and all these other government resorts are, you know, free of charge or at a reduced tariff, but only in that short period. So I'm happy to hear that industry has come on board as well, and you've mentioned the 50%, it's great. But I think we need to look at something year-round to deal with the seasonality issue and a lot of other external impacts that you've listed. And also township tourism. I really believe that there's such a lot of talent and opportunity there. And I know that you're not responsible for product development. It's the job of the department. But I think there needs to be much closer collaboration, perhaps, between SAT and other role players to develop, perhaps, not products, but opportunities within townships, so that we could then, you know, give emphasis to that, because there are so many places out there that are not on the major tourism routes, marginalized, they off the beaten track, but those are the places that need a push economically, socially, and tourism is the way to achieve that ultimately. So I would like to hear your views on that. Then with regards to conferencing, as you know, it's one of my pet projects, and I do believe it's the one that, obviously, against the back of international and domestic tourism, but the MICE sector is probably the one that's giving us the best results thus far. In terms of your reporting, I see in my notes here that the committee has requested that the report in terms of target on an annual basis versus that in terms of a breakdown. I just want to get to my notes. In other words, the question is, in terms of your reporting, I've made a note, so I just need to get to it now. Just give me a second. Sorry, Madam Chair, I'm still within my 5 minutes. So this is, where is it? Under which point? I'm trying to find it now. Okay, yeah. And then the reduced demand in the Western Cape. The point has been made that we've seen already a drop from the Western Cape, 30% for the coming 2018 December holidays compared to the same period last year. What conversations are taking place with the Western Cape to deal with this particular issue? And then the last thing, Airbnb. It's not in your report, but it's a big player at the moment. If you can perhaps just enlighten the committee on the Airbnb issue, I think it's because I know many municipalities are very worried about Airbnb, because many of these establishments are not conforming to any of the local town planning regulations. So they're not very, you know, welcome to the concept of Airbnb, but it's a game changer. It's the shared economy, so it's definitely a big contender. But I think there needs to be some, perhaps, education on the issue. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
The next speaker is Matopam.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
Quarterly, yes, I've found it. Quarterly breakdown, and not the annual, in terms of conferencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I would like to acknowledge the presentation. And as such, I am also scraping the barrel of the bottom of the barrel. So I will sometimes infringe on what has been said previously. I will start with the discount that apparently is going to be given, the 11% decrease. How much of propagation has that attained?
in terms of advertising to the people, or does this apply only to the visitors? Also, I want to find out, we are trying to promote tourism. I haven't heard of rural tourism, just as much as the honorable bosses talked about township tourism. I want to push in the rural tourism as well. We are talking of stock fairs. Stock fairs are a phenomenon of the city life. There are no stock fairs in the rural area. And what can we come up with? What can the SAT come up with in order to entice the rural people to also get into tourism? The zero, day zero has been addressed. Grading. Grading only applies to people who are from abroad or who are visitors in the country. The people around who do tourism don't really look into grading as such. They go by reputation. On the reputable B&Bs, reputable hotels. And I do not see how SAT can circumvent the idea of having policemen removing brandings and things like that, because people make their own and they display them, and the policemen don't really care, or do they know what they're supposed to remove and not to remove. So I don't know how the SAT can circumvent that. And it sometimes becomes irrelevant. The grading system becomes irrelevant with the local tourist. Board members. There are board members who apparently do not attend meetings. What do you do to those who have exceeded at least three meetings, who have not turned up on three meetings? Are they not offloaded from the city, or what is happening? Because if they don't attend for three times, it means they have lost interest. So what happened to those? Coming also to staff turnover, it is of great concern. Honorable Pombroke has addressed this as well, but I feel in order for us, especially at top level management, if SAT is going to achieve continuity, they need to have stability in the staff section, especially in the top management level. I would like to know, I don't know how I'm going to address it, maybe secretly, but it looks like there's quite a lot of exiting. I don't know how we can ask them to tell us, say, what exactly is the underlying cause, because it appears as if people are streaming out. They come in and they find that it's too hot to handle, then they jump out of the kitchen. I don't know what's cooking inside there. Maybe they will tell us. grading of address. No, I think that's all. I'm sure even my 5 minutes is exhausted.
Thank you, members. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
To the delegation, I will just say they must really answer the issue of the chief marketing officer. It has been a concern. It's not the first one that has just left the organization. And also on the issue of bad messaging and negative communication, there's so many communicators communicating different messages, which I think is impacting negatively to tourism. What interventions can be there so that whatever that is communicated does not make the situation how it is now. And also on the under program, the program that took corporate support, where you reported about the audit outcome, what about the monitoring compliance with PFMA? Is it in line with the auditing and whatever? And also, do people understand the your campaign, we do tourism campaign, do they understand that it has a lot to do, it has a lot to do with the tourist safety, tourist satisfaction, us visiting, and also being an active participant in the tourism space? Do people understand that? And also, is this overspending, a lot of overspending, is it in line with the PFMA, the overspending, and also the prepayment? Is it allowed in the under the PFMA? You also talking about implementing some outcomes of your sessions with TGCSA. Can you share some highlights with us? I'll come again, but let me give it to you to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you for the questions as well. I'm going to ask my two colleagues here to pick up any areas that they want to answer to, and I will sweep the rest that they kind of left on the side. Okay, so see you then.
Can I just intervene to say, if there is whatever that you are unable to answer now, can I give you up to Monday, 12 o'clock, so that you submit a written response? Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, yes, I've got one response, and this in terms of do we comply with a prepayment in terms of the law of the PFMA and also the overspending. Yes, we do 100% comply with that. Every year the Auditor General auditing those. So, yes, in terms of regularity audit and in terms of compliance audit, we do comply 100% in terms of it. Otherwise, we would not do it in terms of a PFMA. I must say there are challenges. I don't want to waste time. There are challenges in terms of the foreign countries. So, but we also manage that in terms of a PFMA. If there's a reason for deviations, we approach the Treasury to assist us or give us deviations of that. We will not do something which is not in compliance with a PFMA.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I think in terms of some of my responses, I think the recommendation of a written response is probably better suited, also in the interests of time, but sufficient to say that some of the reasons for the declines, the data, you correct, Honourable Member Krumbrook, that we do have the data. And some of the top-line information we have, for example, is that the impact of the water crisis impacted bookings specifically to Cape Town by about 11% down in the first half or first quarter of the year, calendar quarter of the year. To South Africa, it was down about 4% overall. In that period. The other thing that just to note as well on the comment on the World Cup is that of the non-qualifying countries, the surging bookings for Russia actually was topped by USA and followed by China as well. So what was interesting on this World Cup is that there was even an interest in visiting Russia from those countries that didn't qualify. But I will provide the detailed breakdown on that. Thank you.
We'll be much more ready this time, I think. Okay, thank you for those ones.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just to say, I think from the board side, the issue of staffing and top management is one of the issues that, as an incoming board, we've had to come in and deal with. I personally, yesterday, I think, sat with all top managers individually, interviewed them in terms of where they at, what are the challenges they're facing, what are the issues that they're facing as individual staff members. And from that, and I'm also at the, in the process of analyzing the staff engagement survey that has just been recently completed, and the focus group that have been held across across on the board, and we would. We also, as part of that, there was an exit interview which the chair of HR and Remco is responsible for for the CMO. So this week, I mean, we're compiling all of that, and we're trying to make sense of what the issues are as the board. And it is a serious issue on our side, so we will, because I think we want all our staff members to want to belong to the organization and to thrive in their jobs. So that's an important issue, because we can't achieve all of these things if people in the organization are not happy. So it's a priority for us, and we will be making sense of everything. And I don't know about Monday, 11 o'clock, Chair, but as soon as we can, once, because we're meeting to analyze everything and just to get all of the data that we've received. But I must say that almost without fail, everyone I've spoken to, it was top management, as well as what is called extended EXCO, which includes head of internal audit, head of grading, and HR. I've spoken to. I think everyone who's in the organisation is committed to work, and they want to work. But there are some issues that we need to deal with, and it is those issues that we'd like to, as a new board, to go through and work on, so that we continue to make SA Tourism a preferred employer, and that people enjoy and want to work at SA Tourism. So that's the work we're doing on our side of the bridge. Thank you.
Okay, I have 5 minutes, I've got. Thank you, Chair. I think the CSO has touched on a little bit about the phenomenon about the World Cup in this instance, but big events. So how do we then, you know, kind of ready ourselves up for future things that are basically to happen in that regard? The challenge that we're trying to really address some of the things is that is the speed of information that we get and the speed with which you can respond to it, basically. And I think that's something we're always trying to sharpen and make sure that we are responsive all the time. We also all look at our performance, especially in the outbound countries, relative to other countries as well. So we are leaking to other countries. It actually brings us attention to see how we can look at those ones as well there. You asked about the three factors, safety and security, water, what is the weighting of each one, and how do we look at the one as well. We don't have granular information that we can actually attribute 50% to water, 20% to this. But I think it's all combined. The way we do our surveys as well is really focus groups. So we ask people what is top of mind, and you know, we create themes out of recurring issues that we respond on. PR campaign is exactly that. I think important here is we have to talk about these issues. We have to talk about safety security proactively, as opposed to all the time having, you know, us to respond to all these things. Part of this offensive campaign is to really be the ones who actually talk about safety security, but talk about the things that we are doing, the safety monitor groups, and distill some of the data as an example, so that we all understand what is essentially happening there from that perspective. Not easy, but at least I think we want to be at the front end of it from that side. The country is in recession, absolutely. What is the SAA doing? Again, they run a business. We try to bring them in. We coerce them to be part of the solution, not just SAA, but all of the partners. We, as the national carrier, however, we always feel that the South African tourism experience doesn't start when you land at Oratambo or Cape Town International, but when you board our planes from any destination you're at. So how do we have a seamless approach on that side? In fact, we are meeting for a formal meeting between ourselves, the DG, and SAA in the next 2 weeks to actually bed down some of these elements in that regard. Jobs are very much linked to the tourism space. I actually got indication last week that in the upcoming job summit in October, the tourism is actually going to be a big feature in there in terms of what is our responsibility towards jobs. And ours is very clear. Let's grow the sector, it grows jobs, essentially, from that side. So always trying to look at that element there. The Tourism Travel Week, you spoke a little bit about, whether it's township businesses and some of showcasing the entire country there. To give a bit of examples, you know, someone asked about Airbnb. Right now as we speak, there's actually an Airbnb summit happening, right? It's happening in Langa Township. That is no coincidence. We insisted that if we get involved, we want to make sure that it happens in those places. The second part is that if we are involved, we want to make sure that Airbnb is the world's largest online platform. We want to make sure that homestays are the ones that are actually that are appearing on that front. How do you profile a small business that is in the rural area to international tourists? That's what Airbnb can do. We are still working with them. We're still finding ways in terms of how we can work together. But more important than that, they give us data that we can have and to make these deliberate and smart decisions. But also secondly as well is that it helps us to make sure that we profile, as I say, some of the small businesses that are invisible to us. We're always looking to work with the likes of Sandparks to make sure they're also part and parcel. But again, I mean, they're key members, they're rangers, you know, so we want to tell them that, yes, we want to be conservationists, but however, we've got to drive tourism hand in hand from that side. On the grading side, yes, you're absolutely right. We can't sit back and say, well, we can't do anything, and that's that. And hence I'm saying that the first part, we've got to inform and educate. We've got to inform and educate the consumer as to what grading means so that they can also make informed decisions, but also inform and educate the business, the trade as well, as to how they're going to go that side. A lot of where we are going, a lot of where our strategy is going that will address some of these things is actually digital. With digital, you don't need for physical plaques as an example. Everything will exist in the cell phone. But how does all of that become visible? So that if there is a special, and if you're in rural area, that you can actually get it on your phone. So that even your business can also be featured there. The difficulty that you find sometimes is how do these destinations package themselves? Right? How do you make sure that you entice people and you put a three-day package for people to go to some of those areas to make sure they're out there? But it's a definite focus on that side. The different numbers in the Western Cape are very interesting. Whilst you speak to the hoteliers, they'll tell you the numbers are lower. But anecdotally, when I speak to the head of Avis, they're 20% up in bookings. Right? So I'm saying that people come into the Western Cape. They're not coming to hotels. So where else are they coming to? And how do we look at this thing a bit more granular from that perspective? And I think those are the ongoing conversations. We meet quarterly basis with all of the CEOs of the tourism authorities, part of the conversations about how do we help you, how do we work together to bring about performance in those specific areas on that side. I think let me hold it there, Honorable Chair, and anything that I've left behind, I will definitely submit by Monday to make sure that we complete the line of questioning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. Thank you to the delegation. I think also on the issue of crime incidents that are sometimes reported, as much as you report to security agencies, you must be able to follow up on those incidents so that whenever there is a positive that's reported by SAP, you are able to feedback so that there isn't that cry that South Africa is not safe, you see. At least you must be able to follow up. At least we understand that the situation may not be as it was in April and June, but come our next engagement, at least we must see a peak. Let me thank everyone. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, delegation of SAT. Those who will be driving must drive safe. Those who will be flying must fly safe. They must arrive home. We are needed in the house just at 2 o'clock. I declare the meeting as closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh.